We live, we love, we serve.
We live, we love, and we serve. I want to turn to the Gospel of Mark today, the 16th chapter. I want to say and commend our staff for this morning, 7:30, for getting us out in time, that there wasn't a lot of congestion. We got out right before 9 o'clock this morning, right? Let me thank myself for not preaching so long. So we got Mark 16, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Mark 16, 1 through 4. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. Amen. Let's pray. God, we bless your name on today. God, we bless your name on today. We are grateful, oh God, because on this day we stand in the fullness of resurrection possibility. We thank you, God, that there will always be seasons in our life where there will be people who think we are done. It is over. But today reminds us is that it is not over until you move, oh God, until you speak, oh Lord. So God, strengthen our hearts today. Strengthen our minds today. Renew our spirits today, oh God, that we might move and walk in the fullness of your power, oh God. God, we woke up this morning, and we have nothing else to shout about. That's it right there. We woke up this morning, God, because nothing could happen if that did not take place. We woke up this morning, oh God. So, God, we thank you. Like the old saints used to say, for getting up power, oh God, today. God, have your way. Have your way. And we will be sure to get out of your way, oh God, and let you be God all by yourself. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen. Amen. Remain standing with me. Let me read that passage again. Mark 16, 1 through 4. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. Amen. Do me a favor, beloved. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Neighbor, I got a word for you today. It's already done." Come on, turn to somebody else again. Tell them, "Neighbor, I got a word for you today. It's already done." Come on, I'll give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. It's already done. Boy, somebody need to know that today. I don't even know if I need to preach. Come on, tell them one more time. Whatever you've been worried about, it's already done. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You take your seats. It's already done. The women and others who were traveling with them were grieving the loss of their teacher, their friend. They had borne witness to the brutality of crucifixion. The scripture says that after he had died, it was Joseph of Arimathea, who asked for his body so that he could lay the body of Jesus in a tomb that he had already purchased. He was gone. Their hearts were heavy. For again, their friend, their leader, was dead. Scripture says that the ladies, Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome, had gathered spices because they didn't feel as though his body had been properly handled. And so they went to the tomb, and their plan was to finish what death had started. They were going to seal this moment with a ritual to anoint his body in the proper fashion. Scripture says that as they were journeying to the tomb, there was a pressing question that they had. While they were making their way to finish what death had started, there was a question that was pressing them. In fact, in the Greek version, the tense is perpetual, which means that it was a question they kept asking themselves as they journeyed. Who is going to roll away the stone? They knew that the tomb had been sealed, and they knew that in order to access the body, that there would have to be first the removal of the stone that covered the tomb. And although they were making their way there, they were still thinking about the fact that in their minds, they weren't strong enough to roll the stone away. And so even though they were committed to the task at hand, the question on their minds that they kept asking themselves was, who is going to roll the stone away? The good news about that moment, that scene, is that they didn't allow an unanswered question to stop them in their progress. They didn't let that question linger. They didn't stop, even though they saw that they didn't have the capacity to do what was necessary to access the tomb. They did not stop on their journey. I'm going to say that again, because maybe you didn't catch that part. Even though there was a pressing question, an obstacle, a deterrent, there was something that stood between them and their duty that they did not feel they had the capacity to handle. They do not turn around. They do not change their mind. They do not stop their progress, even though they do not have an answer to the question that to them was the key to them and for them to doing what they felt they were being called to do. I hope you catch that. They were going to anoint the body. There was something between them and their calling, between them and their assignment. But they do not let the thing that is standing between them and their assignment deter them in their desire to fulfill what was pressing on their heart. I hope you really understand that. I'm going to say it one more time. They felt called to anoint the body, called to finish what death has started, called to prepare him properly. And although they knew there was something in front of them they could not handle, they did not stop from doing what they felt they were called and assigned to do. Somebody here needs to hear that, because you are journeying towards an uncertain future, an uncertain destiny. And instead of being focused on the destiny, the calling, the assignment, you're thinking about what is in the way and what might be stopping you from doing what God may be calling you to do. I need to help some folk today, because if you know God has called you to something high and holy, and God has called you to something significant, and God has called you to do something to honor God, it should not matter what the obstacles are. It should not matter what the deterrents are, because if you got that pressing compulsion in your spirit to honor what God is calling you to do, it does not matter what stands in the way. You got to know in your spirit that I have to be faithful no matter how big the obstacle, no matter how great the mountain, no matter how fierce the enemy, that I got to do. And so you know what I got to tell you? Keep moving. Yeah, keep moving. Tell somebody next to you, keep moving.
Don't get deterred. Don't get afraid. Don't be weary. Even though you might not know or might not feel like you're strong enough to handle it, that you're big enough to handle it, you got to know that if God called you to that assignment, guess what? Can I get churchy? The Lord will provide. Oh, I love that part right there, because I know there are a few folk in here today who can testify. There's been moments where you felt inadequate to the task or smaller than the situation, but you learn that if I keep on moving, if I don't stop, if I don't turn back, if I don't turn around, somehow God will make a way. Is anybody in here on this Resurrection Sunday who can testify that there were moments when you were afraid, and there were moments that you wanted to let go, and there were moments that you wanted to give up, and there were moments that you wanted to stop, but you knew that something was in you that was pushing you and pulling you, but more than that, keeping you and sustaining you every step of the way. Tell somebody, keep on moving. Keep on moving. It doesn't matter what the obstacle may be. If God has placed something in your heart, I don't care how fierce it may appear and how it may look, don't you dare stop moving in the direction of the future that God has for you. Don't you dare let excuses pull you backwards, especially if you had to fight to get where you are right now. If you had to fight, you ever had to fight for your place and fight for your space and fight for your life? You can't fight for all that and then get afraid at the last minute when you're closer than you've ever been to what God has for you. Look at it, say, I'm one step closer. Oh my God, I'm one step closer. That's why the greatest thing, the most radical thing you could ever do when you're moving in the direction of your destiny, guess what? Is put one foot in front of the next foot and keep on going. And every now and again, I'm gonna promise you, there's gonna be some bumps in the road. There's gonna be some obstacles and opposition, but you gotta keep it moving, believing that the God who started this work in me is the same God who's gonna bring it through to completion. Tell somebody one more time, keep it moving. Keep it moving. One of the easiest things to do is to get stalled when you're close. You know what I really realized too? I realized in my personal journey that this is simple, but this is real. The closer I get, the harder it gets. You ever notice that? You sometimes wish that you would face the difficulty in the beginning. But man, and when you start getting closer to where it is you know God wants you to be, the closer you get, the harder it gets. And I don't know what it is. And I also realize that the intensity of the opposition is a signifier to the enormity of the breakthrough. Oh God, you hear that? The intensity of the opposition is a signifier of the enormity of what's on the other side. You see, the demons don't show up if you're off track. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all don't know about demons, but demons don't show up when you're off track. They let you go on about your work. But my God, when they see that you're moving in the direction where you can get connected to what God is about to do, they will do everything in their power. They will use people you thought were on your side. They will use situations you thought were in your favor. All of that in an attempt to stop you from getting where God wants you to be. But you know what to tell them. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. You know what I also realized in this journey is that sometimes it's not that I have to keep it moving because of what God is doing, but I have to keep it moving because of what God is doing. You missed that? It's not that I have to keep it moving because of what God is doing, but I have to keep it moving because of what God is doing. See, y'all, that ain't really heavy, but that's wordplay. Let me try it again. I can't stop
because I know God is moving. But I gotta keep it going because God is moving. You ever thought that there is some kind of divine connection between your movement and God's movement? Oh, yeah, there it is. That somehow alignment with God means alignment with your future. So that sometimes keeping it moving activates the kingdom to keep it moving. Man, y'all missing this thing, boy. I hope I'm saying it right, Alicia. I hope I'm saying it right. That oftentimes when you want to stop, something might be deactivated. Because here it is. What I love about the women, they know something is difficult, but they don't give too much credence to the challenge. Then give more validity to the assignment. Oh, gosh. And so I'm going to say it again. Here you are with some providential assignment, some divine assignment on your life. You know God called you to this. You know God wants you to do this. And the first sign of obstacle, you get nervous, you get worried, and you slow down, and you begin to second guess the assignment that you know you were given. But what you don't always realize is that your movement triggers sometimes God's movement. And can I tell you what I love the most? And I'm done. I told you I won't be long today because y'all got places to go. But what I love about this is that the reason you have to keep moving is because you never know what God is doing while you're moving. Oh, man, it's right there in the story. I love this part about the story because when you look at it, it makes it very clear. It says this, that they were walking with an intent to bring the spices to anoint Jesus, and then at the same time, they were questioning. Watch, they were questioning who's going to roll the stone away. Now, clearly, it was rhetorical because they didn't think they had the capacity to roll away the stone. They weren't rolling with anybody who could roll the stone away. Man, back up again. That's kind of faith, right? Like they're moving and they know they're not strong enough to handle what's coming, but they don't stop moving. They somehow, I think in their spirit, maybe, they kind of sense that as long as we keep moving, it ain't just us that's moving, just maybe God might be moving. And that's what we miss sometimes. You see, a lot of us would have stopped until the answer to the question came. Oh, man, there it is. We would have put a pause there. We would have stopped. We'd have sanctified it. Watch how we'd have done it. We'd have said, listen, we can't take one more step until we hear from God. But sometimes you don't need to hear from God. You got to watch for God. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I didn't get that part. Okay, let me try it again. We try to spiritualize our fear by saying we're not going to move until God makes it clear that what we're doing is what we've been called to do. Oh, you get real holy. You even get friends to pray with you. You're like, listen, I need you to pray with me for this next move of God because I feel in my spirit that God wants me to be still and see, and we just want to wait for a sign. But sometimes God won't give you the sign until you arrive. And so you're waiting for a sign, but the sign is at the place you're headed. You'll never get the sign if you're stuck in your fear and your feelings of inadequacy. If you let your inadequacy set the nature of your movement, you'll never go anywhere. You ever had to press your way to something, even in spite of how you felt about it? And it was the easiest thing to do was not to move. But you knew in your heart, if I stop now, I'll never get where I need to be. And sometimes it takes a lot of years of disappointment and heartbreak to learn to not stop moving. And especially if you've seen things pass you by that you thought was purpose for you, and the reason it passed you by because you never moved towards it. You were afraid to move towards it, and it passed you by. That's why I love what they do. They know what's the problem. They raise the question. They get no answer. Nobody spoke to them and said, by the way, the Lord said God would handle it. No divine intervention. No angel came down, but they keep moving anyhow. And this is the part you got to understand. While they
were sitting there worried on the road, God was working at the tomb. You missed that part. Oh, wait. Y'all went too fast with that. While they were worried on the road, it's called anxiety in motion. Oh gosh, that anxious, yes, but I ain't gonna stop. Confused, yes, but I ain't gonna stop. So while they were worried on the road, please take that line, I don't know. While they were worried on the road, God was working at the tomb. God was working while they were worrying. And God was moving while they were moving. Listen, I might be dumb, but you see this scene here? It says they were worried. But when they arrived and looked up, to their surprise, the thing they were worried about was already handled. That's really it today. It says that when they looked up, they don't know what the process was. They don't even know, Pastor Trey, who rolled the stone away. But all they know is that when they showed up, the thing they thought would be a problem, oh gosh, was no longer a problem. It had already been rolled away. They worried, but God was working. They feared, but God was moving. They questioned, but resurrection was already unfolding. Because it ain't just that the stone was rolled away, it's that the contents of the tomb were gone. So two things happened. Stone rolled away, Jesus gone, and they stand there not in confusion, but now acknowledging what God had done. And that's all I came by on Resurrection Sunday to tell somebody, that you sit here worried about something in your life right now, worried about something that you think needs to happen. And I just want to let you know that while you're worrying, God has already, that's the word, has already handled it. Oh God, look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, it's already done. You losing sleep about it, but it's already done. You worried about it, but it's already done. Now, I wish I had about 50 of y'all in here who could testify that you've seen God do some stuff when you didn't see it happening. But when you showed up, you had witnessed that God had already moved. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, sleep well tonight because it's already done. Look at somebody else and tell them, neighbor, ease your mind because it's already done. And is there anybody here this morning who can testify that I might not see it, but I trust God is doing it? I might not see it, but I trust God is doing it. It's already done. It's already happened. It's already moved away. He's already handled it. And is there anybody here today who knows for yourself that it's already happened? The breakthrough is already done. The healing has already happened. The family's already in check. That God has already done it. I wish I had some folk in here today who could give God some praise this morning. In fact, look at your neighbor and tell a neighbor, it's Resurrection Sunday. And I just stopped by to tell you that instead of worrying, I wish to give God the glory for what God has already done. Look at somebody right now and tell them, neighbor, this praise is my already praise. This shout is my already shout. This dance is my already dance. And is there anybody here who knows that God is already. And if God has already done it, you ought to tell your neighbor, excuse me, because an already God deserves an on-time praise. Is there anybody here who can give God an already praise? Already. Hey! Hold on. You done got here on Resurrection Sunday and you trying to play cool. You don't wait in line.